Our next guest grew up in Wisconsin and had a long career in child protective services as an editorial cartoonist, and from his youth, he was an active athlete. But through his adult life, he struggled with declining vision. He was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, or RP, which would eventually leave him completely sightless.
For years, he struggled to hide his condition and his failing sight from friends, coworkers, and bosses, and tried to live what he considered a normal life, even as work and daily life became more difficult, even dangerous.
Philip DiMeo joins us now. Now retired, he lives in Wauwatosa and coaches Kelly's Bleachers, the most successful co-ed softball team in Milwaukee history. He tells the story of his vision loss in his new book, Binoculars, Masquerading as a Sighted Person. Phil, welcome to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Rob.
So you had vision problems as a child. They faded, they went away for a while. But in your adult life, when did you start seeing your vision decline again?
Well, actually, it was in the early 70s. I was having problems with light-to-dark adaption. And a couple times after I was working child protection, after going into a dark house, I came out and I stumbled and fell down the steps because the glare really got me, and I couldn't focus on where the stairs were, and I fell down a couple times down cement stairs. And when I went into a dark building, it took a while for my eyes to adjust. So it was light-to-dark adaption.
So that doesn't sound too bad, but things got worse from there?
Yes, I experimented with all kinds of sunglasses, photo grays, wraparounds, you name it, but it kept getting worse, yes. And the depth perception was going, too, where I couldn't even tell where one step went down and the other step started.
So as you say in your book, and even in the subtitle of the book, you were masquerading as a sighted person. Was there a moment where you said, all right, I'm having problems, I'm not going to let people know, or did it just kind of happen over time?
Well, it just kind of happened over time, actually, after my diagnosis of RP when I was 32 years old, back in 1977, I was still in denial because after, you know, I thought, well, maybe it's just, it was a coincidence that I have all these problems. I was night blind. I had tunnel vision. I had no depth perception. I was color blind. But yet I thought that, you know, I had always had this, but maybe I was focusing too much on it. And then in 1978, I was diagnosed with having cataracts by an optometrist. He never mentioned RP, so I assumed that it was the cataracts as well. You know, when the cataracts ripen, I can have them removed. So then I was really in a state of denial then.
And how did it affect your life? You're having all these vision problems, trying to conceal it from people. What was life like through this stage?
Well, it was terrible because whenever I had to go to a meeting, I would stake out the room a half hour in advance, sit by the doorway, so that when I left, I wouldn't trip over anybody. And it was affecting me when I was in child protection. One time I was rescuing some children from an abusive father. I was with another lady. She took the children down the steps, and I took a box of clothes. And the father came after us, and I got in the car, and I ran the car right into a pole. And it was drivable. You know, and I made an excuse. Well, you know, I looked back to see if he was following us, but you know, I knew that's not what it was. And then my last child abuse case came in September of 1977, when I was in a kitchen with a lady. She wanted me to take her kids and place them with her sister, and her husband came out of the bedroom, and she screamed that he had a gun, and I never saw him at all, never. And then so you know, I got out of there, and then that was after that. I decided to transfer out of child protection into a desk job.
So why do you think you were in denial? Why were you hiding this, even though it was actually causing very real problems in your work and your personal life?
During this period, my wife was a teacher, and she took off to raise our three children. She ran a daycare center here, and I was the sole support of our family, and I thought that if they found out about this, that they could terminate me, even though I had a government job, or they could transfer me to another department at a lower pay rate, and or, you know, I might be doing something else, which would be quite demeaning to me. So, you know, it was a matter of pride, and it was also a matter that I was afraid that I was going to lose my job.
We're talking to Phil DiMeo. His new book is Binoculars, Masquerading as a Sighted Person. He lives in Wauwatosa. He tells the story of his struggle with vision loss and how he tried to hide it for a while. And, Phil, let's get into when you stopped hiding it. Did you make a decision, or were you found out where you couldn't deny it publicly anymore?
Well, right before I came out of the closet with this, a supervisor saw me bump into some chairs, and I was called in. He was a section. He demanded to know what was wrong with my vision. Of course, I didn't tell him. And then eventually, he was replaced. They had a new regime in here. The new directress, I decided to tell her because I was having trouble. Not only I couldn't drive, but I was also I had trouble with my paperwork. We were using computer forms that were colorized, and I couldn't actually fill them out. So I went to the new directress, and I told her that I could not no longer do the job, and I told her what I had. She said she was familiar with RP. She said, if it's okay with you, I'd like to send you to MATSU, the Special Needs Department, you know, so I would learn mobility training using a white cane, which I hated. I would learn Braille, which I used a little bit, but I don't use anymore. And also, I would learn computers. And so I agreed to do that. And that's, you know, that basically that was a big, you know, a big weight lifted from me. But that's what happened.
Yeah. So what's changed now that you're checking out these different alternatives? You're acknowledging the problem. Did your life get better or worse?
Well, it got better because then, you know, they made accommodations for me while at work. So, you know, I went to, you know, I had an office job. Although there was one section had a couple years later that felt that I shouldn't be working there because I couldn't see and I couldn't read the paperwork. But she eventually left and I stayed. But, yeah, so anyway, I felt a big weight had been lifted. And then I went through the training, although I never used the cane at all. And I never really used Braille. But I went through the training. In fact, the first time they took me over to the Vision Forward and I got my cane, I thought to myself, what am I doing here? You know. So I used the cane at work. I was ordered to it because I bumped into a lady, a secretary, and I spilled coffee all over her. So I was ordered to use the cane at work. But after work, I put the cane away, and I never used it at all.
What does the world look like to you now? How much vision have you lost at this point?
I have no vision at all. I've had no vision for about 20 years. What I see now are sparklers, blotches, lights blinking on and off, silver and black sparklers. I was told by an ophthalmologist that I'm hallucinating, not in the normal sense, but my retina is sending signals to the optic nerve to the brain, but because my retina is shutting off, this is what I'm seeing. I see nothing.
Now, you're retired now, you mentioned. You are known as a success story in the world of softball. You're a softball coach with a team with a phenomenal record, I understand, at Kelly's Bleachers in the Milwaukee area. How do you coach, someone might ask, if you can't really see much of anything?
Well, as I said, I can listen. I'm tuned in to what's going on. And I make sure that all the players that are like, you know, last night I was worried that some of the players were showing up late. I make out the lineup. I tell them exactly where I want them to play, and I prepare them before we even have our games, you know, during the week. And I can tell by listening. For example, if a ball is hit to the shortstop or the third base, I can tell. And if the runner is running, if I can tell when the ball hits the first baseman's glove, if the runner is out or safe. And I can also tell when it's a pop up, and just by listening, it's, you know, I've become pretty good at that. And after the games, I will even tell everybody what they did, you know, and praise them for what they did.
And you're off to a good start this year, I understand, on the team.
Yeah, we're 3-0 as of now. I've got 362 wins, 38 losses, 14 championship titles, and we hold the record from 1999 to the middle of 2004. We won 68 games in a row.
Now, as we wrap up, Phil, I mean, your story is unique, but a lot of people have probably been through something similar. Maybe they're denying a hearing loss later in life, or changes in mobility, or maybe the limits of heart condition might put on them. If there's somebody out there listening and they're in that boat, they're not sharing what's going on, what is your advice to them?
Well, there are a lot of places that can help them. As for my thing, they have Vision Forward, which is a Badger home. I would suggest that they get assistance or whatever it is. I was basically too proud to accept assistance at that time. But eventually, I did, and it's helped me a lot. I went full circle when I went to get my first guide dog, LaDonna, in 2004. And that, you know, and now I have my second guide, Tessie. We had to put LaDonna down November 16th. And it's amazing what these dogs can do. And there's a lot of help out there. You know, they should find out, you know, what's available for them, and that's what I suggest. And the people that are involved in helping, whether it's, whether it's a hearing thing or, you know, or you have an addictive or anything else, they're very, very good. And I would suggest people seek help.
Phil, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Rob.
That was Philip DeMeo of Wauwatosa. We've been talking about his new book just out. It's called Binoculars, Masquerading as a Sighted Person.